From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We're joined, as always, with our super producer, Andrew Triforce Howard. Most importantly, you are you. You are here. That makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. If you are tuning in the evening this publishes, welcome to December 16th. You guys, we're so close to 2025. Not even the project, just the calendar year.
I think 2025 is already in effect.
Yeah, full effect. No. We'll see.
Quick updates. The U.S. courts have rejected The Onion's bid to buy InfoWars for now. Another court ruled that boneless chicken wings can still be, pieces of food that have bones in them. One thing that is on everybody's mind, we have taken some time for our personal lives, so you'll hear some classic episodes coming up in the next few weeks. And like the rest of the United States, dare I say the world, we have been paying attention to the recent assassination of a CEO.
Oh boy. Are we ever? It's funny. I was in New York last week and was right down at the iHeart offices, which are very close to that Hilton. And I had no idea what was going on, but I was eating at a deli and there was a reporter asking some guy that worked at the Hilton about, like, maybe the security cameras caught something. I didn't know what they were talking about until after the fact.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we'll probably make a full episode on the story of Luigi Mangione.
Oh, my goodness. What a name.
I don't know if he's related to Chuck. Do you guys remember Chuck?
Is he related to Mario, though, is the question. All right,
is he related? Yeah. Or as the internet is asking us, does this mean there is a Waluigi who works in private equity?
I swear. Yeah, I heard the Chuck Mangione question come up too. If anyone doesn't know, Chuck Mangione was like sort of an easy listening.
So good.
Trumpet player. Really made most famous for me by his appearance on King of the Hill all the time. He's the spokesperson for Megalomart.
Ah, finally. And speaking of spokesfolk, I like that.
Spokesfolk. I do too.
Thank you. We're going to hear some spokespeople for a popular band back in the day. We're going to hear some stuff about Santa, of course. Some comments about facial hair. We're going to end with a wholesome story. We'll have a lot of updates along the way. Before we get to our first break, I would just like to tease something. Have you guys ever interacted with a phone scammer?
Oh, man.
Yes.
Well, yeah, lately I just kind of, once I realized that that's what they are, I say no thank you and just hang up. But, you know, back before I was a little less irritated by the avalanche of scam calls that I receive, I probably would have played along for a minute.
It's only in the very first stages. But you can kind of tell when something is off when it's a big corporation calling you about your account.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you guys been getting the one where it's like a loan company calling to ask you for additional information about the loan that you applied for? I've been getting that one just nonstop lately. It's weird.
I get a lot of, I'm with you. I get a lot of unsolicited advertisements for Russian-made anti-aircraft.
Okay.
Armament. Yeah, it's weird, but if they make it through all the proxies enough to advertise, I'll hear them.
Good on them.
Nice. Mine's mostly been text messages saying my UPS package has arrived, but it needs some more information from me to get to.
Ooh,
me.
I get those.
I got that one. It was saying it needed to clear customs. It had gotten held up in customs, and it asked for my it said there was a problem with the zip code.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And all you have to do is click the link. Spoiler, folks, don't. It is a conspiracy.
Right. It did have a link. Yeah. It said you had to close this, click the text message, click the link in the text message, but it wasn't even a blue link. It was like you would have had to copy and paste it. And then it said, when it starts getting too complex, like close the text message, open a browser, definitely a red flag every time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a flag so red that even the colorblind can see us. So with this in mind, we know for anybody who listened to our previous episode on the troubled border of Myanmar, our series on that, we know that there are a lot of scams in the world or the information age. And there are people who have deployed one method or another of combating those scams and those scammers. So I suggest we take a break from a word from our sponsors, and then we introduce everyone to Daisy. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
This is Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Do you like podcasts, music, and audiobooks? Because when you subscribe to Amazon Music Unlimited, you get all three in one app. Imagine listening to your favorite podcasts and music on the go to work, school, the gym, or better yet, vacation. Now, imagine being on vacation with your favorite audiobook from Audible, then listening to a new one every month from a huge selection of popular titles. That sounds like a pretty good vacation, right? Audible is now included on Amazon Music Unlimited. Download the Amazon Music app now to start listening. Terms apply.
You wake up, put on your Ray-Ban Meta glasses. You're living all in. You realize you need coffee. So you say,
hey, Meta, how do I make a latte?
Brew two shots of espresso.
After Meta AI gets you caffeinated, you're ready for some beats.
Hey, Meta, play hip-hop music.
You head to meet some friends, but can't remember the place.
Hey, Meta, call Eva.
Ray-Ban Meta Glasses, the next generation of AI glasses. Just say, hey, Meta, to harness the power of Meta AI. Shop now at meta.com/smartglasses.
Hi, everyone. It's Savannah Guthrie and Hoda Kotb from the Today Show.
Nobody does the holidays like today. From festive performances and great gift ideas to tips for the perfect holiday feast.
Join us every morning on NBC and make today your home for the holidays.
This is Joel.
And I am Matt. We are with the How to Money podcast.
And Matt, I think one of the most worthwhile things you can save for these days is travel. Not you, me, both of us, all of us. I've been doing a lot of domestic travel lately. It can be even less expensive than traveling internationally and just as fulfilling. And it's just been incredible for my family.
I agree. And not only do I love to stay in Airbnbs while I am traveling, but I also loved being an Airbnb host. It's a great way to earn some extra money to use towards my next trip. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
What is chronic migraine? It's 15 or more headache days a month, each lasting 4 hours or more. Botox, onabotulinum toxin A, prevents headaches in adults with chronic migraine. It's not approved for adults with migraine who have 14 or fewer headache days a month. Ask your doctor about Botox.
Botox is a prescription medicine injected by your doctor. Effects of Botox may spread hours to weeks after injection, causing serious symptoms. Alert your doctor right away as difficulty swallowing, speaking, breathing, eye problems, or muscle weakness can be signs of a life-threatening condition. Patients with these conditions before injection are at highest risk. Side effects may include allergic reactions, neck and injection site pain, fatigue, and headache. Allergic reactions can include rash, welts, asthma symptoms, and dizziness. Don't receive Botox if there's a skin infection. Tell your doctor your medical history, muscle or nerve conditions, including ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, myasthenia gravis, or Lambert-Eaton syndrome, and medications, including botulinum toxins, as these may increase the risk of serious side effects.
Talk to your doctor and visit BotoxChronicMigraine.com or call 1-800-44-BOTOX to learn more.
And we're back. Actually, let's just have Daisy take the floor. All right.
Seven in 10 Brits have been targeted by scammers. And it's not just our grandparents. I was one of them. But this film isn't about getting scammed. This is about getting even. Meet my friend, Daisy.
Hello, scammers. I'm your worst nightmare. I'm an AI created by O2 to waste phone scammers' time. So, W is then a dot.
Three times W and then dot.
I think your profession is bothering people, right?
I'm just trying to have a little chat.
It's nearly been an hour! For the love of...
finally, a benevolent use of AI. Ugh.
It's showing me a picture of my cat, Fluffy.
It's showing you the picture of your cat, Fluffy.
Stop calling me dear, you stupid.
Got it, dear. Because while they're busy talking to me, they can't be scamming you. And let's face it, dear, I've got all the time in the world.
So that is
my heart,
Daisy.
Finally, a benevolent AI.
Right. Like
doing for good.
Daisy is not human. Daisy is an AI creation that impersonates, sort of, as we can tell, a British granny or a granny from the UK who answers calls in real time from suspected fraudsters with the entire goal of keeping them on the phone for as long as possible such that they don't reach real vulnerable human beings.
That's amazing. What was that piece from that we just heard?
This is from O2 associated with Virgin Media and, you know, Richard Branson's whole strange experiment. O2 has recently, as of last month, they've unveiled something called this thing, Daisy, and it's a death of 1,000 cuts for scammers. This came out, you can read about this on Virgin Media's official sites from mid-November, just last month. Daisy is a big deal at O2 for right now. Her official title is Head of Scammer Relations. And what the entirety of this model is centered on, weirdly enough, the kind of recommendations that intelligence agencies gave back in the Cold War. It's always to distract, to ramble, to go on tangents. Daisy may, in fact, I think, be a pretty good podcaster. the way it works is it's an agglomeration of different AI models, and they work together in a stew to listen and respond to fraudulent calls instantly. And it so far has a pretty great success rate, probably because it still has that new car smell and criminals aren't aware of it. It can keep people on, like, the goal is to keep the scammers on a call for about 40 minutes at a time. This is a small part of a larger thing that Virgin Media O2 calls Swerve the Scammers.
Amazing. I just love it. I really do. Have you guys seen that film, The Beekeeper, starring yes. Jason Statham? Matt, mm-hmm. you'd really like it. It's a good old rollicking action banger, but it is like a revenge fantasy, essentially, where the titular beekeeper, who is a high-level black ops killing machine who's gone into retirement and literally just keeps bees, has a dear friend of his who is an older woman scammed by these awful, mm-hmm. basically villain, you know, comically villainous, you know, evil right. Individuals, corporation, really, in the movie. And minor spoiler alert for a thing that happens very early on in The Beekeeper. She takes her own life because they basically Ooh. Strip her of all of her funds, and also she was the keeper of some funds for some sort of nonprofit organization, a charity, mm-hmm. and all kinds of things. But it is exactly what we're talking about here. It just, you know, obviously done stylized and done like for maximum action effect, but this is a much less violent way of dealing with these scum.
Right. And we see that it comes from real life concerns. Everybody knows that people who are not what we would call digital natives can be a little bit less situationally aware of scams and right. fraudsters. And this is a huge concern in the United Kingdom. Virgin Media's own research in partnership with some of the boffins they got on the case shows that 7 in 10, or actually more than 7 in 10, 71% of people in Britain or Brits would like to get some sort of revenge against scammers, because scams, especially telephonic scams, are so common there that if you have not been the victim of a scam attempt yourself, then you know someone who has. It's it has proliferated across that area of the world.
Well, and Ben, it wouldn't continue to the point where folks like you or I, who are, you know, more or less wise to this stuff, continue to get these kind of calls if they weren't making money off of them. They have to be successful to some degree, or else why would they continue?
Yeah, it's kind of like the terrible logic of the so-called PUA or pickup artist, where they say, hey, we'll just do a numbers game. You know, it's not the 9 people who don't fall for the malarkey, it's the one who does. Correct.
Yeah. No, they just need to come up with something now that also tracks somehow back to the server that is functioning, like whatever the scammers are using, so that you can nuke the server. Not actually nuke it, but, you know,
destroy
the server.
Yeah. And just like DDS it at the very least.
Take it out. Or a Jason Statham group that just gets deployed every time Daisy is in use.
I'd be very interested in your thoughts on Beekeeper.
That's good.
Yeah. Dude. Yeah. All right. Different show. But yeah.
I wasn't expecting to like it, and I truly loved it.
Speaking of truly loving things, there is another story that so many people have contacted us about. It's an ongoing thing. We have to talk about it at least briefly, gentlemen. The mystery drones. Earlier in our previous strange news segment, I want to say we had explored the story of drones monitoring U.S. bases in the United Kingdom. It turns out there are more mystery drones across the pond, not just that Chinese student who took a one-way trip after he got popped, but we know that residents in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn have been reporting drones over in New Jersey. A lot of people have been reporting strange stuff in the sky. And these are, we have to remember, this part of the United States is very densely populated. So if one person sees something, many other people saw it as well. There's not a way to, you know, it's not like the days of Blue Book. You can't just find the one farmer and intimidate them. These drones have been seen near U.S. military facilities, even near President-elect Trump's golf course in Bedminster. The FAA tried to tamp down and said, hey, look, any drone flights over this airspace are going to be restricted. So then this helps us eliminate, you know, the probability of known drones coming in. Everybody panicked.
One thing we should note here is that these are not your drones that you can go pick up at Best Buy if you, you know, came into a financial windfall, or you can go over to, you know, any of the places that sell drones right now. These are, or at least they're being reported as huge, like SUV size drones that function a lot like those quadricopter drones that are loud as hell, apparently. And again, huge, flying around. And that is very, I think that's part of the troublesome bit, right? It's not as though it's a bunch of hobbyists, sure, as you've been saying there.
Well,
it's something else.
And for my own education here, guys, are we talking these are like models that are outside of the norm, even of what we know as military drones? Because those don't seem like they're incredibly loud. I mean, I know they are. They make a drone sound, but I mean, it would kind of kill the element of surprise if they were like as loud as these things seem to be.
Yeah, I want to shout out some recent interactions we've had on social media, some emails, and some folks who used our call-in line to specifically note this. This is an active developing situation. And to be clear, I appreciate that clarification. Yeah, obviously, we're not implying that these are hobbyist drones, not the kind of stuff you could buy on Amazon or at your local Radio Shack. I think there are still Radio Shacks. Maybe I'm dating myself. These are big, almost to what we would call UAV size. I really want to get to the statement from the FBI's Newark field office. They said, quote, "We understand the concern, and we are doing all we can to figure out what's going on. We truly don't have much information to provide at the moment." And this is, I want to add the further context here. This has to be terrifying and deeply upsetting, perhaps even offensive to people in the area, given that 9/11 didn't happen too long ago. Right. So shouldn't this airspace be especially protected, be especially monitored? Out of all the places in the United States outside of maybe, you know, Groom Lake or Area 51, how on earth are these things getting through, and how on earth are they apparently unidentified?
Getting through without being shot down, like, or at least, you know, acknowledged. How are they getting this far? Right.
Right. That's the thing. I would advance to you guys that first off, the logical cover story would be this is a training exercise, right? Everybody keep calm. We know what's happening. However, that is not the path the feds have chosen to take.
Well, it is weird because it could be test vehicles for some company, you know, some startup company that's attempting to make flying cars that are more quadricopter style, which is something we've seen prototypes of over the past, I don't
finally
know, 5-6 years.
Just mean, where's our flying car? I mean, we're finally getting to them, I guess.
If you look at the footage of them up there, it looks like clearly a human-made flashing light vehicle, you know, that should be in the sky and is flying probably safely in the sky with all of its flashing lights and everything. It's just very, very odd, especially when you see one and then there's like five more that you can tell are the same thing flying around out in the distance.
Yeah, we've had reports again to our show in particular, and just reports in the public sphere where these are reasonable people. These are not wing nuts. They're folks who happen to live in the area, maybe even without an interest in aviation or UAP. And they're saying, what the heck is going on? If you're part of that, if you have experienced this, you can, of course, email us, conspiracy@iheartradio.com. We'd love to see any clips you have. You can also call the FBI if you want, 1-800, in a burst of creativity, 1-800-CALL-FBI. That's 225-5324. And people are saying they've reported these sightings multiple times, and they have not gotten responses. What the heck is going on? There's very much something they don't want you to know. And the question is, who is they? So again, we would love to hear your reports. Thank you to everybody who's written in, contacted us via the internets, or dropped a line to us via a telephonic device. I wanted to go a little bit lighthearted with a couple things. And then one story about justice. So you guys know how recently the nation of the DPRK, or North Korea as it's called here in the West, sent some of their own military personnel to fight in Russia's war with Ukraine. It appears Russia has, reciprocated a bit. They sent a crack team to North Korea. However, the crack team is not human. They sent 100, and I'm quoting here, elite goats.
Oh, heck yeah. Elite goats. Do they have weapons strapped on them or something?
they have every goat is a weapon. You know
greatest
what I mean?
Of all
have
time. You
ever, right. Yeah. These are the goats because they have cleared 447 goats for shipment to North Korea. It's the first batch of live animals. This occurred back in August. Now they're continuing to send these. A lot of these goats are pregnant. They have been microchipped. The idea is that, well, the speculation in the West is that this is meant to help address food shortages in the country. So perhaps by having these high quality goats, which sounds like a weird thing to say, perhaps that will help the country.
Wait, how many?
Well, in August, they cleared 447. Quite recently, they sent 100 over.
We're going to need more goats.
I need a bigger goat.
We got to have more goats. We also know this is part of a larger story, which I really want to dig into with you guys later. Last month in November, Russia also sent more animals, not just pregnant top-tier goats, which again is just a very weird statement. They sent 2 bears, 2 yaks, 25 pheasants, 40 mandarin ducks, 5 cockatoos, and 1 African lion. It does sound
and a partridge
like
and a pear tree.
Weird version of that Christmas. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It sounds like a weird version of that old Christmas song, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, immediately my mind was looking for the partridge and the pear tree. That seems logistically difficult to ship, though.
Yeah, partridges are tough internationally.
Cantankerous.
Well, they know what they
That's
did.
That's true.
But where does the bear fit in? It's just like
2 bears.
Just in case, like we got to thin these herds at some point and we need to make sure these bears are ready.
Yeah, straight to the DMZ.
Were they cocaine bears is my second question.
Every bear is a cocaine bear if you catch it on the right Saturday.
Fair enough.
So we are out of time for this. We're not going to get to the staff orgy at the Tennessee VA hospital.
But why?
we're we We are happy to report Broward County has vacated convictions for people who bought crack recently, because it turns out that crack was made by the local sheriff's office.
What?
Yes,
you buried the lead, my guy.
All true.
Wait, but what about this orgy?
we're throwing these out. If you want to learn more, about VA orgies, do check out Shore News Network, where VA officials have resigned after a report of a staff orgy at a Tennessee VA hospital. If you want to make sure you're, I guess, buying high quality crack, then go to Broward County, because over in Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Can I also just say, I went to Philadelphia this weekend as well for a personal trip and
orgy.
Personal trip. And I ended
VA orgy. Thank you for your service.
There's a really wonderful queer, historical queer bookstore called Giovanni's Room, where a friend of mine works. And I went there, and as we left, he was giving us all these little extra little bits to add to our, you know, things that we bought, like little, you know, posters and things. And he said, oh, and here, test your drugs. And he gave us like these drug testing kits. So just putting it out there that that stuff is available. And if anybody out there is indulging in things like crack cocaine or cocaine, I'm not advocating that, but do test your drugs, because there are all kinds of horrible adulterants, not to mention fentanyl and things that can actually kill you outside of just a goofy story. So just putting that out there.
Yeah, if you are in a situation where you are choosing recreational activities like that, please do be aware. Fentanyl and other forms of contamination have swept through the U.S. and parts of Europe like a thunderstorm or a hurricane. So always be safe to the best of your ability. There should be resources available. If you are, of course, in Broward County, be aware that for at least 3 years, the sheriff's office there produced its own crack cocaine so that they could sell it to people and then arrest those people for buying the crack cocaine that law enforcement had made.
That's like the Dave Chappelle bits, where it's like putting a crack rock on you, you know? Lord, that is despicable.
I just want to know who cooked up that idea.
Well, when they're getting promoted, right? Speaking of promotions, we're going to pause for a word from our sponsors. We'll return with more strange news.
This is Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Do you like podcasts, music, and audiobooks? Because when you subscribe to Amazon Music Unlimited, you get all three in one app. Imagine listening to your favorite podcasts and music on the go to work, school, the gym, or better yet, vacation. Now, imagine being on vacation with your favorite audiobook from Audible, then listening to a new one every month from a huge selection of popular titles. That sounds like a pretty good vacation, right? Audible is now included on Amazon Music Unlimited. Download the Amazon Music app now to start listening. Terms apply.
You wake up, put on your Ray-Ban Meta glasses. Classic style, innovative tech. You're living all in. You realize you need coffee. Desperately. So you say,
hey Meta, how do I make a latte?
To make a latte, brew 2 shots of espresso.
After Meta AI gets you caffeinated, you start walking to work, and you need a soundtrack.
Hey Meta, play hip-hop music.
With the built-in camera, you snap a pic of a dope mural on the side of a building that you think is worth sharing.
Hey Meta, text my last photo to Eva.
Sending message.
After work, you head to meet some friends.
Hey, nice glasses.
Ray-Ban Meta glasses, the next generation of AI glasses. Just say, hey Meta, to harness the power of Meta AI. Listen to music, make hands-free calls with open-ear audio and built-in microphones, and so much more, all while staying present to the world around you. Shop Ray-Ban Meta glasses at meta.com/smartglasses.
All right, we're all set for the party. I've trimmed the tree, hung the mistletoe, and paired all those weird-shaped knives and forks with the appropriate cheeses. And I plugged in the Bartesian.
Bartesian?
It's a home cocktail maker that makes over 60 premium cocktails, plus a whole lot of seasonal favorites, too. I just got it for 50 off. So, how about a Klosmopolitan or a mistletoe margarita?
I'm thirsty.
Watch. I just pop in a capsule, choose my strength, and...
Wow, it's beginning to feel more seasonal in here already.
If your holiday party doesn't have a bartender, then you become the bartender. Unless you've got a Bartesian, because Bartesian crafts every cocktail perfectly in as little as 30 seconds. And I just got it for $50 off.
Tis the season to be jollier.
Add some holiday flavor to every celebration with the sleek, sophisticated home cocktail maker, Bartesian. get $50 off any cocktail maker at bartesian.com/cocktail. That's bartesian.com/cocktail.
You know, the talk around GLP-1s is inescapable these days. But are you familiar with Future Health? They've made accessing qualified doctors who specialize in GLP-1s easier than ever before.
Yeah, the science here is fascinating. I have a couple of good friends who have actually been using GLP-1s, and the results are astonishing. Not only have my friends felt more physically healthy than they have in a while, but they also feel more in control of their eating habits.
Future Health gives millions of people affordable access to knowledgeable providers who really know weight loss medications for less than $3 a day.
Find out if weight loss meds are right for you in 3 minutes at tryfh.com. That's tryfh.com. Again, tryfh.com.
Tryfh.com.
Future Health is not a healthcare services provider. Meds are prescribed at provider's discretion. Results may vary. Sponsored by Future Health.
Chronic migraine is 15 or more headache days a month, each lasting 4 hours or more.
Botox, onabotulinum toxin A, prevents headaches in adults with chronic migraine before they start. Botox is not approved for adults with migraine who have 14 or fewer headache days a month. Botox prevents, on average, 8 to 9 headache days a month versus 6 to 7 for placebo.
Botox is a prescription medicine injected by your doctor. Effects of Botox may spread hours to weeks after injection, causing serious symptoms. Alert your doctor right away, as difficulty swallowing, speaking, breathing, eye problems, or muscle weakness can be signs of a life-threatening condition. Patients with these conditions before injection are at highest risk. Side effects may include allergic reactions, neck and injection site pain, fatigue, and headache. Allergic reactions can include rash, welts, asthma symptoms, and dizziness. Don't receive Botox if there's a skin infection. Tell your doctor your medical history, muscle or nerve conditions, including ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, myasthenia gravis, or Lambert-Eaton syndrome, and medications, including botulinum toxins, as these may increase the risk of serious side effects.
Talk to your doctor and visit BotoxChronicMigraine.com or call 1-800-44-BOTOX to learn more.
And we have returned with a few more pieces of strange news. We'll lead with a holiday-related themed story out of Russia. I think this one is just a hoot, guys. There's a prominent pro-Kremlin activist by the name of Vitaly Borodin, who has called on the Russian state to designate Santa Claus as a, quote, in quote, foreign agent.
I mean, technically he is.
Well, absolutely he is. I mean, well, yeah, he's coming into your homes, y'all, and he's, you know, leaving things in there that weren't there before, and yet somehow we welcome this terrorist. No, I'm joking.
It's such a weird, I mean, think about it though. I was talking about this with our pals at Daily Zeitgeist. It is such a strange trope that we all accept. If you're very good, an overweight man that you don't know will break into your house. He'll leave you stuff, and you should also leave him snacks.
Yeah. And thank him for the privilege.
Yeah, and if you're not good, he's still going to break into your house, but the gifts will be worse.
Mm-hmm. And he's always brandishing an American Coca-Cola, isn't he?
Weird, in the bottle, too. Refreshing. But yeah, it's true. There's definitely some odd stuff around Santa Claus, the commercialization of Christmas and all of that good stuff. But I think we can all agree, because of Matt's point about the Coca-Cola company sort of proliferating the image, the modern image of Santa Claus that we know, it is very much, or he is very much part of Western culture, even though we know that Santa Claus, of course, comes from Europe. There are, you know, tons of Santa Claus analogs, you know, Cinder Klaus and all of that stuff, Black Schwarzer Peter, some more problematic ones, and things of that nature that come from other parts of the world. But the bearded, home invading, you know, jolly old elf that we know as Santa is very much a Western creation.
From Thomas Nast, and then later popularized via Coca-Cola. We have a ridiculous history.
No, we do. And you're absolutely right. He was a cartoonist. He kind of created, he was a political cartoonist, and he created the image that we know, that was then kind of co-opted by the Coca-Cola company. So it does make sense that someone who is so pro-Kremlin like Borodin might see Santa Claus as not as like a physical foreign agent, but as a way of infiltrating and undermining traditional Russian values. He addressed a letter to the prosecutor general And this was reported by the New York Times, where he referred to Santa's rising popularity in Russia and the idea that it jeopardizes the prominence of a Russian sort of Santa Claus-esque figure, Father Frost, or Dead Moroz, which is a cultural figure that's central to Russia's New Year's celebrations. Father Frost is depicted as being from Veliky Ustyug in Volognya Oblast, which is a place in Russia, I assume. He has a helper. He has a Santa's little helper type figure, which is his granddaughter, Snegorochka. And during the Soviet era, he was very much pushed forth as the embodiment of the spirit of New Year's, you know, reflection and gift giving and all of that stuff, gratitude, right? But since the fall of the Soviet Union, Western culture and capitalism, along with Santa Claus, has been proliferating through Russia. So Borden, in his letter, highlights the $1.6 trillion global price tag of Santa Claus trademarks. And he believes that exporting this figure, what he represents, Santa Claus, the exporting by international corporations, run the risk of eroding and exploiting, and I guess maybe more diluting, Russian cultural norms, which is something that we've heard of a good bit recently. And now I'm having a hard time remembering the country of origin. But there was a country, I believe, in the Middle East that was prohibiting music of a certain beats per minute because it did not align with the traditional folk music of that region. So that's very much like this idea of let's keep these cultural norms on lock and prevent and push away any invading, you know, forces. Which the reason I said I thought this was a hoot, guys, is because isn't Russia kind of notorious for infiltrating our norms and political processes
nowadays?
I mean,
yeah, that's a good point.
I just think it's a little bit of a hypocrisy going on here with someone that's so pro-Kremlin, the Kremlin being constantly at the heart of a lot of these seemingly quite likely conspiracies about Russian agents infiltrating our social media here, influencing voter turnout, even doing, you know, DDoS attacks and things of that nature to affect the outcome of our elections, which is about as central to a culture as you can get.
Yeah, well, perhaps I don't want to say a conclusion here at all, but I do have an interesting thing to bring up. You may have noticed, folks, that it may just be possible, well, that this is a response to some breaking news about Santa Claus. Did you hear that the sarcophagus of the, quote, real Santa Claus has been discovered in Turkey?
Does it have jingle bells on it? Is it a big giant sleigh pulled by reindeer? I just picture Santa's tomb being mobile in that way.
They found the burial site, apparently, the suspected burial site of the Greek bishop St. Nicholas at the Church of St. Nicholas in Antalya, Turkey. It's a limestone sarcophagus. I don't know about the bells, but maybe this is what inspired Russian activists to say, all right, Santa Claus, definitely a foreign agent. You can check it out. Archaeology News, December 7th. Shout out to Dario Radley. I'm joking.
Super interesting. I had no idea about that. And just last thing for me on this one, this does align with some other efforts that are happening within the Russian government. Mikhail Ivanov, who's a regional legislator, has been pushing for the removal of Santa Claus figurines from store shelves in favor of being replaced by more Russian-centric holiday figures. Literally, not just figurines. He criticized Santa Claus as a representation of gross Western ideals, commercialization, capitalism, etc. And these things that are disconnected from the spiritual essence of Christmas. And we could make that same argument over here, and plenty of people do. So these things aren't happening in a vacuum, but it does seem interesting that these folks are acknowledging this aggressive infiltration by outside elements that are diluting their own cultural norms, when again, they themselves seem to be guilty of doing the same thing to us.
Sure.
I didn't mean to yap so much, Matt. And I can see your gears turning there. What do you think about this one?
Had a conversation with my son this morning about Santa Claus and Jesus and Christmas and all that stuff. And I think it's a war on Christmas, guys.
Okay.
I'm just joking. I'm just joking.
No, it's funny. I mean, have you guys seen the genius cinematic masterpiece that is Red One?
No.
It's this like this popcorn, you know, movie that just came out. It's apparently quite terrible and not doing particularly well, starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson, where he plays, I think, a bodyguard for Santa, who's played by the guy that played J. Jonah Jameson, who's also the neo-Nazi dude in Oz, whose name is totally eluding me. He's the mean drum teacher in Whiplash. You guys know who I'm talking about. His name is just totally escaping me. But anywho, he's Santa Claus, and he's apparently totally jacked, and it's this, like, Christmas-themed adventure that none of the critics that I pay attention to seem to be able to understand who it's for, because it's, like, too violent for little kids, but it's too childish for adults. So that's another example of the commercialization.
Doesn't Dwayne still have, this is a pop culture conspiracy, but doesn't he still have that thing in his contract where he supposedly, whatever character he plays, he can't lose a fight?
Oh, I don't know about that. That would be.
I don't know if that's true.
I know he has to have a gym on site, and he has to have time to get Jack built into the shooting schedule.
You got
to
get your gains. Also, the actor you're looking for there, Noel, is J.K. Simmons.
Thank you. Yes, love him. Just based on his name, Matt.
I think Steven Seagal is the guy I remember having the thing in the contract about not losing a fight, but I don't remember.
Well, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, because that's his name, he did have some controversy around the shooting of Red One, where he apparently was late all the time and was known to pee in bottles on set, which seems a little inappropriate. And he sort of answered to those claims, saying they were largely overblown. But there was definitely some hit pieces out on him being a bit of a pill during the filming. But that is neither here nor there. If you guys don't mind, I think I've got time for one more I had a third. Well, I'll just say the third one just because it's interesting. It's really quickly. Scotland, the police force in Scotland had proposed a ban on facial hair for any officers of the law there, a clean shaven policy that was going to be introduced in May, but was postponed during a wave of complaints. Now they have officially decided to scrap the plan. So I say that's a victory for beardies everywhere.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's a victory for the public of Scotland, because if someone doesn't have a mustache, how can you tell that they're a cop?
Also true. And also Scotland being a pretty bearded country, I would argue.
It's cold up there.
A lot of lovely beards there. And it was specifically supposed to encourage the wearing of masks, those N95 masks that fit really tightly. But again, the backlash was just too severe and they couldn't do it. So lastly, I just want to talk a little bit about the absolute disco banger that is YMCA. There's been a little bit of controversy recently when the singer of the band, I believe he was the cop, if you're looking at the video, there was, like, you know, the construction worker, the cowboy, the Native American figure, there's like a soldier, a leather daddy kind of figure wearing like literally chains on his bare chest, and then a police officer. The police officer, who is the co-writer of the song YMCA, a guy named Victor Willis, is still living, and he has come out saying, actually, I'll just give the quote. Come January 2025, my wife, I don't know why he's singling out his wife and not him.
Because he wants people to know his orientation.
Fair enough. That's a good point. Okay, let's get to it. My wife will start suing each and every news organization that falsely refers to YMCA, either in their headlines or alluded to in the base of the story, that YMCA is somehow a gay anthem, because such notion is based solely on the song's lyrics alluding to illicit activity for which it does not. Little interesting grammatical structure there.
Three things real quick. First, why is your wife suing him? Why not you? Second, do you, as the creator of anything, be it a story, a painting, a sculpture, or a song, do you get to dictate what part of the world or what demographic identifies?
Well, that's exactly right, Ben. Whether or not the song was set out to be a gay anthem, the reality of the matter is that it has come to have the stature of a gay anthem. And if you watch the video and the performances and just like the lyrics, they're pretty innocuous. It is just singing the praises of the Young Men's Christian, Association, I believe, YMCA, a place where you can go have a hot meal and, you know, play a little ping pong, get a shower if you're down on your luck, and of course, hang out with all the boys. Another very interesting statement from the singer says that famous line that I just quoted, noted, was simply 1970s black slang for black guys hanging out together for sports, gambling, or whatever. There's nothing gay about that. No homo. I mean,
okay. Methinks thou dost protest.
Well, that's what I was going to mention, Ben and Matt. This does feel like a classic example of the Streisand effect.
Right, wherein
somebody says, no, it's not this thing, or no, don't look at my picture on the internet, wherein it just kind of doubles down on whatever that thing is, or makes people have eyes on whatever the thing is you don't want them to look at. And it just it just comes off
like as, Freud with cigars.
Totally. And it just comes off as really tone deaf and clueless, and a great example of someone who doesn't understand what their own work means to other people. And the interesting thing about this is it comes kind of as a result of this song having been co-opted by the Trump campaign, being played at all of these events. And originally, apparently, Mr. Willis was not for that just because he said it was a quote unquote nuisance. I guess he was getting bugged about it a lot. But then the Trump organization actually purchased a political license for the song through BMI, a publishing company that owns the rights to that song. And since then, Mr. Willis has changed his tune entirely. He isn't making it a political thing, but he is saying the financial benefits, this is from his mouth, have been great. YMCA is estimated to gross several million dollars since the president-elect's continued use of the song. Therefore, I'm glad I allowed the president-elect's continued use of YMCA, and I thank him for choosing to use my song. And rather than leaving it at that, I just do want to add, it wasn't just his song. He was the co-writer of the song, along with a gentleman by the name of Jacques Moral, who produced the record. He was a very well-known French disco and dance music record producer and songwriter. The Village People were, from my understanding, assembled. They were like a boy band. They were put together. Mm-hmm. Each of their respective characters were very meticulously chosen. And it was a time where queer culture was much more out in the open all of a sudden, and it was capitalizing on that. So, I mean, you mm-hmm. can't say that the biker in the leather with the chains on his hairy chest isn't like a symbol of a queer iconic thing. Whether that happened before or after that choice was made, it is inextricably that. But Jacques mm-hmm. Morel, who is no longer with us, therefore not able to defend his position on the use of this song or its, you know, gay roots or lack thereof. He did pass away due to complications from HIV. He contracted in the mid 1980s. And he was openly gay, and he died of AIDS related complications in Paris at the age of 44. So very clearly, you got to wonder if the producer, who also gets a co-writing credit, who wrote what? And how much of that, what would that relationship was even like? And
how do people try to retroactively redefine, right, historical events?
Right.
You know, history is written by the people in the present, and it's an ongoing conversation. Also, with that in mind, you know, guys, how cool would it be for a Village People 2.0 to come out? And if so, which characters, which tropes would be assembled? You know, like who's the equivalent of the Village People cast role wise in the modern day?
They have to leave out the Native American with the full headdress, I would argue. That didn't mm-hmm. age well.
Yeah.
The rest of them, I think, are okay. I don't know. I always will think of Wayne's World, the scene in Wayne's World where they do YMCA. But yeah, I don't know. I just think this is interesting and a great example of kind of like A, the Streisand effect, and B, someone kind of being a little bit clueless about their own legacy. Whether the intent was there or not, I don't think you can shut down what a thing has come to represent just by saying so.
Yeah, it's kind of like it's kind of like an old school gangster rapper coming out and saying, I've never once condoned violence. You guys are hearing the music wrong.
Yeah. One way I do think this is like a roundabout way to maybe get what he wants, though. Say some like insensitive, possibly homophobic things out loud, you know, and now if you listen to the song, you're supporting this guy, right? So I do think it might actually have the messed up effect he's looking for.
Well, it's maybe changing the narrative in a way, because I mean, you know, Trump is, you know, he has some platforms that I think are not particularly friendly to the LGBTQ and trans community, let's just say. Mm-hmm. So to co-opt that song in that way and then have the cosign of the creator, it does seem to flip the script on what that song represents. And I think he's trying to help serve that narrative. And now it maybe is more the Trump dancing, you know, jerking his hands off in the air kind of song, rather than this queer anthem that it has in the past been.
Yeah, it is a weird way to stop getting even the small amount of residuals you're still getting.
No, but he's getting more. He's getting, that's the point though. He's getting, he's generated $1 million specifically by, from use of the Trump campaign. And it shot up in the charts as a result of that too. But my point is, I think the audience is changing or something. Like, people are listening to it for different reasons or with different connotations now. But, you know, it's always been pretty embraced by everyone. It's at weddings, you know, everyone loves the dance. Everyone loves the song with the dance associated with it. That I don't think was even created by the band. I think that kind of came naturally from a performance on American Bandstand or something, where the audience kind of invented that. I don't know exactly the details there, but it's really interesting on a lot of levels. So anyway, those are my stories. Let's take a quick break, hear a word from our sponsor, and then come back with a bit more strange news for you.
This is Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Do you like podcasts, music, and audiobooks? Because when you subscribe to Amazon Music Unlimited, you get all three in one app. Imagine listening to your favorite podcasts and music on the go to work, school, the gym, or better yet, vacation. Now, imagine being on vacation with your favorite audiobook from Audible, then listening to a new one every month from a huge selection of popular titles. That sounds like a pretty good vacation, right? Audible is now included on Amazon Music Unlimited. Download the Amazon Music app now to start listening. Terms apply.
You wake up, put on your Ray-Ban Meta glasses. Classic style, innovative tech. You're living all in. You realize you need coffee. Desperately. So you say,
hey Meta, how do I make a latte?
To make a latte, brew 2 shots of espresso.
After Meta AI gets you caffeinated, you start walking to work, and you need a soundtrack.
Hey Meta, play hip-hop music.
With the built-in camera, you snap a pic of a dope mural on the side of a building that you think is worth sharing.
Hey Meta, text my last photo to Eva.
Sending message.
After work, you head to meet some friends.
Hey, nice glasses.
Ray-Ban Meta glasses, the next generation of AI glasses. Just say, hey Meta, to harness the power of Meta AI. Listen to music, make hands-free calls with open-ear audio and built-in microphones, and so much more, all while staying present to the world around you. Shop Ray-Ban Meta glasses at meta.com/smartglasses.
All right, we're all set for the party. I've trimmed the tree, hung the mistletoe, and paired all those weird-shaped knives and forks with the appropriate cheeses. And I plugged in the Bartesian.
Bartesian?
It's a home cocktail maker that makes over 60 premium cocktails, plus a whole lot of seasonal favorites, too. I just got it for 50 off. So, how about a Klosmopolitan or a mistletoe margarita?
I'm thirsty.
Watch. I just pop in a capsule, choose my strength, and...
Wow, it's beginning to feel more seasonal in here already.
If your holiday party doesn't have a bartender, then you become the bartender. Unless you've got a Bartesian, because Bartesian crafts every cocktail perfectly in as little as 30 seconds. And I just got it for $50 off.
Tis the season to be jollier.
Add some holiday flavor to every celebration with the sleek, sophisticated home cocktail maker, Bartesian. Get $50 off any cocktail maker at bartesian.com/cocktail. That's bartesian.com/cocktail.
Man, folks, the buzz surrounding GLP-1 treatments is ubiquitous. However, are you aware of Future Health? You should be, because they streamlined the process of connecting with qualified GLP-1 specialists.
For sure. GLP-1s have been an absolute game changer for a handful of folks in my life. Some people just struggle with what they call that food noise, and it's not just a quick fix. It can actually be a way of helping manage that food noise and propel you towards having a little bit more control of your body and your life when you pair it with good diet and exercise.
We recommend you take the quick Future Health 3-minute survey. From there, if approved by a clinician, you'll get prescribed and get meds delivered to your door within 24 hours.
So find out if weight loss meds are right for you in 3 minutes at tryfh.com. That's tryfh.com.
Tryfh.com.
Future Health is not a healthcare services provider. Meds are prescribed at provider's discretion. Results may vary. Sponsored by Future Health.
Chronic migraine is 15 or more headache days a month, each lasting 4 hours or more.
Botox, onabotulinum toxin A, prevents headaches in adults with chronic migraine before they start. Botox is not approved for adults with migraine who have 14 or fewer headache days a month. Botox prevents, on average, 8 to 9 headache days a month versus 6 to 7 for placebo.
Botox is a prescription medicine injected by your doctor. Effects of Botox may spread hours to weeks after injection, causing serious symptoms. Alert your doctor right away as difficulty swallowing, speaking, breathing, eye problems, or muscle weakness can be signs of a life-threatening condition. Patients with these conditions before injection are at highest risk. Side effects may include allergic reactions, neck and injection site pain, fatigue, and headache. Allergic reactions can include rash, welts, asthma symptoms, and dizziness. Don't receive Botox if there's a skin infection. Tell your doctor your medical history, muscle or nerve conditions, including ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, myasthenia gravis, or Lambert-Eaton syndrome, and medications, including botulinum toxins, as these may increase the risk of serious side effects.
Talk to your doctor and visit BotoxChronicMigraine.com or call 1-800-44-BOTOX to learn more.
Coming back, just to play off of that YMCA story, you guys, we have another piece of news that matches up really well with this. You can't control who consumes the art you create and what that art becomes for people. A book written by author Jay Feinman, first published in 2010, has skyrocketed to number 2 on the Amazon nonfiction charts, the best-selling nonfiction charts. The subtitle is Why Insurance Companies Don't Pay Claims okay. and What You Can Do About It. The title is Delay, Deny, Defend.
Okay. Just saw that. Those three words for the first time in my life recently on those shell casings. And then Ben pointed out to us in our group chat that this was kind of a popular way of referring to how insurance companies, you know, basically get out of paying claims that are legitimate.
Yes. And, you know, it is just, it's strange the way this whole thing is playing out. We will talk about it very soon in a more full way. Just wanted to point that out there. You know, Jay Feinman probably didn't imagine his book would be associated with, you know, the assassination of a healthcare CEO. And now it is. All right, so let's jump to the news coming out of CNN Business. This was written on December 10th by Nathaniel Meyerson. The title is Federal Judge Blocks Largest Supermarket Merger in History. So, guys, back in 2022, Kroger and Albertsons, these are two massive grocery store slash supermarket corporations, they announced, hey, we're going to team up together. We're going to merge into one big old thing. The plan was to combine both the 5th and the 10th largest retailers in the United States. That is, now hear that, largest retailers. Think of all the stores that could be considered retail. This is the 5th and the 10th. So that's not just grocery stores.
Wow.
So why go Voltron like this? Well, because both of these giants were losing ground to the recently emerging titans of grocery. Specifically Walmart and Amazon, and you know, you've got your Costco's, and then also tied to Walmart's like your Sam's Clubs and things like that. They're losing out to these guys. So they thought, well, if we get huge too and become a titan together, maybe we can actually compete. Well, it's not just Albertsons, the grocery store maybe you've heard of or have been to, or the Kroger that you've heard of or been to. These companies own a bunch of other brand name stores.
They're more like regionally specific, right? You might have
yes.
Kroger over here in Atlanta, but then it's like Vaughn's in Los Angeles yep. and Southern California and such, right?
Harris Teeter, Fred Meyer, Safeway, all kinds of places. And there are dozens, by the way, not just those. So from this article written by Nathaniel, it says, Kroger and Albertsons employ mostly unionized workforces and said they wanted to merge to become more competitive against these non-union giants such as Walmart, Amazon, Costco. The grocers also faced increased pressure from another store that maybe you've been to recently, Aldi, which is the fastest growing German discount supermarket chain. They're popping up everywhere where I live. Aldi's are just, I'm just seeing them proliferate. I can imagine that there's lots of pressure there. This is what they wanted to do. And here's a quote from Rodney Mullen, the CEO of Kroger. He's saying this merger would accelerate, quote, our position as a more compelling alternative to larger and non-union competitors, which again, seems like maybe a good thing, right? You've got unionized workers in these places. They're merging together, a bunch of unionized workers, which at least has protections for the people who are working at the stores. That feels like a better thing than, you know, at least what we've heard about Amazon in some of their business practices there when it comes to employees, as well as Walmart and others. Seems like an okay thing. The big deal here, y'all, is that Kroger, when this announcement happened in 2022, they committed to lowering grocery prices by $1 billion. Now, what does that mean? I guess the price of groceries across all of the United States by $1 billion, which translates to not much money for each individual out there shopping in a Kroger, but it would
tricky.
Be
tricky.
Yeah. It's a tricky numbers thing. And if you just say it like that, it sounds so great. Oh my gosh, $1 billion?
Yeah, but it's like a class action lawsuit. You know
exactly.
What I mean?
Exactly. You get $11. You get $4. Mm-hmm.
Hell, we'll just pay out in coupons, you know?
Exactly. That all sounded interesting, good, maybe not great. It's tough to like giant corporations getting together and joining forces. I don't know.
Well, we talked about just the nature of monopoly recently, too, and how it often seems mm-hmm. like that's just sort of the order of the day. It's just kind of we've grown to expect it almost, right? And to usually yes. not see it getting shut down or for there to be a loophole to make it just not monopoly enough to make it. But still, for all intents and purposes, that's what the heck it is.
Exactly. Well, guys, this week, as we are recording on Wednesday, December 11th, a federal judge in Oregon, Judge Adrian Nelson, rejected all of those arguments and basically said no to this merger. She blocked the proposed $25 billion merger between Albertsons and Kroger. And this ruling, basically, if you sum down what her statement was, is that it would limit competition and it would harm consumers. So she issued a preliminary injunction, that's what they call it, halting the deal at least temporarily. In a ruling, she said that supermarkets are, quote, distinct from other grocery retailers and are not direct competitors to Walmart, Amazon, and other companies that sell a wider range of goods. She said that this merger would eliminate head-to-head competition between Albertsons and Kroger and potentially raise prices for consumers rather than lower them, as at least the CEO of Kroger was touting, right? We're going to get bigger and we're going to lower prices because theoretically we can all supply, you know, we can get a bunch more from the same suppliers. We can do all this stuff to negotiate and lower the prices of goods. This judge is saying, I don't think that's what's going to happen.
Guys, I'd like to trust you, but maybe know a little better.
Yeah. Well, again, this is an injunction, so it's temporary. Just saying, hey, we're going to pause on this until we learn some more things. Then we can come back to the negotiation table and try and see what this merger looks like. Well, at the end of yesterday, Tuesday, December 10th, this preliminary injunction halted the deal, but the companies had this option to appeal and move forward, to keep going. Well, as of today, the 11th, Albertsons said, nah, we're done. We're not going to do this. It's over, Kroger. You've wronged us, because they're suing Kroger for breach of contract. And they're alleging that Kroger made the merger get blocked.
Like they blew it up. Like they it's crazy.
Like a poison pill.
Right. Yeah.
Well, yes, they're saying that Kroger failed to exercise its quote best efforts and to take quote any and all actions to secure regulatory approval of the merger.
I don't understand what that means. How is it their response? I mean, it's up to the judge, right? Like, I don't get it.
They're saying Kroger, if they really wanted it, could have done much more. It's similar to, if I understand the legal proceedings, just interject, it feels like Albertson is kind of accusing, I mean, kind of, is accusing Kroger of doing that classic Gene Wilder line from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. One of the kids gets in trouble and he goes, oh, stop.
Oh, that's someone. Yes, help. Yes, please help.
He said, well, Kroger didn't really hustle.
Yeah, well, it is weird because Kroger's the biggest grocery chain out there, right? And then Albertsons,
many names.
Albertsons is like number 10, right? We said 5 and 10. Kroger is actually number 1 in just grocery. And then Albertsons is smaller. So Albertsons is kind of hoping to join up, I guess, with the like team up with the bigger player in some way. So I suppose they have more to lose when going into this type of merger. And I can imagine that's why the company and all of their legal teams are saying, hey, we need to get something out of this because this was going to be a big deal for us.
Well, they may have already put some things in motion, you know, towards whatever that was going to look like. And maybe that's wasted effort and funding and what have you, right?
Yeah. And we have no visibility into that. But again, that same dude that we read a quote from, Rodney Mullen, CEO of Kroger, he said just before all of this stuff went down, he said, we're well positioned to grow even if this deal ends. Which is, you know, one of those things you put out in the ether as a merger is happening, and it's probably not a great thing for investors to see or regulatory folks to look at. I know this is kind of boring.
Not at all.
I think it's just important to remember that this is the kind of stuff that's happening, and it's the kind of stuff that happens when enough corporations grow and grow and grow and grow, and they can't do anything to grow any further unless they envelop another one of these big players that's doing the same thing. And eventually, over the course of time, you get the Google and the Facebook and these companies that just become one big thing, like an Amazon, right? Or a Meta.
Sure.
And in this case, whatever Krogerson's would be. But it did not happen.
And it would seem like now there's bad blood that would lead one to believe that it's never going to happen. They're done with each other. But I just, do you see, I don't know, I mean, I know you're not a legal expert here, but do you see like, with Kroger being so much bigger than Albertson, it just seems like a pretty, I don't know, kind of a shot in the dark, a roll of the dice to do this, to like go up against them when they were trying to join up with them? I don't know.
It depends what they have, right? And if they can prove it, then maybe they get away with a bunch of money, and the investors view them as
what? Scrappy.
Yeah, sure. You get that. The share prices of both of these corporations were up, by the way, after this whole falling through, which is weird. I don't understand any of that stuff. Well, that's it for grocery stores. Let's jump really quickly over to the Democratic Republic of the Congo and talk about a, quote, unidentified illness that is causing alarm with the WHO and the Africa Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. This comes to us via The Guardian and journalist Kat Lay. It was written on December 10th, 2024. This is a mystery disease that is spreading, according to DRC's health minister last week, as we record today. This disease had killed 79 people, and that's since October 24th, and there were 376 cases identified. The reason why we want to talk about this, because again, that's a low number of people, right? But that is quite a few number of people who died in proportion to the number of people who are getting sick. The main symptoms here are similar to flu: headaches, coughing, difficulty breathing, anemia. There is quite a bit of testing, but it's in a remote part of the DRC there. So actually getting somebody to a testing facility, or getting, let's say, blood that's sampled to a testing facility, you're talking 300 to 400 miles away just to make that happen. And then you factor in the time that it takes just to travel that length, do the testing, get results. It's not a quick moving situation for people on the ground, right? Attempting to figure out what's going on there. And again, I think I'm restating this, but the reason why I wanted to talk to this and bring it up to you guys is because there's speculation that this is what is known as a disease X. This is some previously unknown pathogen that has the potential to become a pandemic, right? I think anytime we see something like that hit our radar, we at least want to raise a flag and say, hey, there's a possibility here of some other insane thing happening, depending on how spread occurs. But as of right now, today, the update is that many of the people who actually were tested there, 12 initial samples that were collected, 10 of them tested positive for malaria. But the doctors are saying it is possible that malaria is one illness, and there's maybe a second illness as well in there. You can read the article: some mystery disease patients in DRC have malaria, WHO says. And again, that's in The Guardian. That's all I've got today, guys.
Yeah, and there's much more to explore, especially with the nomenclature of disease X, shadows of colonialism, we could argue. For right now, we're going to call it a day. We are hoping you have a wonderful mid-December. More importantly, we're hoping you reach out and contact us. We cannot wait to hear your thoughts on everything, from especially those mystery drones. They're still getting to me. Have you ever sent anyone elite goats? All this and more. Let us know. We try to be easy to find on the internet, via telephone, and of course our email. Noel, how does someone touch us on the line?
Gosh, Ben, I'm glad you asked. You can find this at the handle Conspiracy Stuff, where we exist on X, FKA Twitter, on Facebook, where we have our Facebook group, Here's Where It Gets Crazy, and on YouTube, where we have video content for your holiday perusing enjoyment. On Instagram and TikTok, however, we're Conspiracy Stuff Show.
And should you like to give us a telephone call, you can do it quite easily. All you have to do is find your favorite device and punch in the following code. Sing it along with us at home, 1-833-STDWYTK. When you hit the number, you'll hear a hopefully familiar voice, then a beep like so. Beep. After that, you got 3 minutes. They're yours. Go ham. Go nuts. Give us your real name. Give us a nickname you'd like. Ask us to make one for you. Most importantly, let us know if we can use your name and or message on the air. If none of that quite bags your badgers, if you don't sip the social meds and you, like so many people, don't care to make a phone call, you can always contact us at our good old-fashioned email address where we are.
Conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
This is Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Do you like podcasts, music, and audiobooks? Because when you subscribe to Amazon Music Unlimited, you get all three in one app. Imagine listening to your favorite podcasts and music on the go to work, school, the gym, or better yet, vacation. Now, imagine being on vacation with your favorite audiobook from Audible, then listening to a new one every month from a huge selection of popular titles. That sounds like a pretty good vacation, right? Audible is now included on Amazon Music Unlimited. Download the Amazon Music app now to start listening. Terms apply.
You wake up, put on your Ray-Ban Meta glasses. You're living all in. You realize you need coffee. So you say,
hey, Meta, how do I make a latte?
Brew 2 shots of espresso.
After Meta AI gets you caffeinated, you're ready for some beats.
Hey, Meta, play hip-hop music.
You head to meet some friends, but can't remember the place.
Hey, Meta, call Eva.
Ray-Ban Meta glasses, the next generation of AI glasses. Just say, hey, Meta, to harness the power of Meta AI. Shop now at meta.com/smartglasses.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play. Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com. VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions.
This holiday season, surprise everyone on your list with the best gifts. Tickets to see their favorite artists live. Choose from thousands of concerts and comedy shows, including Mariah Carey, Mary J. Blige, Matt Matthews, Metallica, Thomas Rhett, Trans-Siberian Orchestra, Sarah Silverman, and so many more. Share a memory together or give a gift they'll never forget. Find the most exciting gift for every fan at LiveNation.com/gifts. That's LiveNation.com/gifts.
You know that feeling when you're at Ross and you find the best gifts for way less? Like brand name sweaters, the coolest kids toys, and plush dog beds? Get that feeling with every gift and save 20 to 60% off other retailers' prices. At Ross, yes, for less.